everybody. Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and it's time for It's All About Food. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for caring about food. And don't we all love eating good food? In fact, that's what I want to talk about, eating good food. The holidays are upon us. We got through Thanksgiving, and I hope you all got through happily and sanely. And now we've got the winter holidays coming up. And it's a good season for staying inside and cooking and making the kitchen smell really nice and staying warm. For those of us who are in cold climates, like we are here in New York City. And for those of you who are on the warmer side of the earth right now, well, you might keep some of these things in mind for when the chill comes on again for you. Now, you know how I feel about Thanksgiving. And as I mentioned on an earlier program, we weren't at home for Thanksgiving. We didn't get to prepare any of our favorites. So last week, we had our delayed Thanksgiving. And it was everything that I wanted it to be. Of course, we had our wonderful creamy mashed potatoes and the creamy sweet potatoes. But here's something I want to share with you. Has anybody tried our Healthy World Burger? Raise your hand. Healthy World Burger. I think it's the best veggie burger out there. And we created it earlier this year. It has great flavor and it has great chew. And that's one of the problems with vegetarian burgers. They tend to be on the mushy side, you know what I mean? But this particular burger has a great chew and it has great flavor. And we do that using a combination of grains, millet, black rice, red rice. And we also use turanicum, which some people know as kamut, which is a gluten-containing grain, and you can use brown rice instead, and brown rice works out perfectly fine. All right, so that makes a great burger, and our burger recipe has some fun spices in it, chipotle powder and chili powder to give it a little extra kick. But we played with that burger batter, if you will, and used it for a number of things that just turned out spectacular. Two things. One was cooking a squash, and I love for Thanksgiving to scoop out a squash and stuff it with something. And if you have a really big squash, it makes a great centerpiece on the table. Or if you have little baby ones, they're wonderful as individual dishes. I think that's really fun when you get a small little stuffed squash and you put the top back on it. It's fun and it's good. And this burger filling, this burger recipe works great as a filling. And all we did was change up the spices and make it more like Thanksgiving spices with parsley, sage, and just like that, it was amazing. But that's not all. You know, my partner, Gary DiMattei, is an amazing chef. He took this filling and he filled them in little ramekins, 1 cup ramekins, pressed it down, and made what we call tornadoes. I don't know if you've ever had tornadoes of beef, little round cuts, but these are similar in that they're similar size, similar color. And they're just fantastic. So we cook them in these ramekins, then they come out really easily and serve them with a creamy cashew-based Dijon sauce, a Dijonnaise. Are you hungry? Fortunately, I was smart, and I had a big bowl of soup before this show started because I knew if I was going to be talking about these foods, I was going to go nuts. Now, what's wonderful about this filling, and we haven't tried it yet, but I have to do it soon because I'm so excited about it. Using it to make a meatloaf, filling a loaf pan with this same burger batter, as I like to call it now, the same combination of grains, millet, black rice, red rice, and either brown rice or tyrannicum, and the vegetable and herbs and spices that we use to flavor it, and press it into a pan and bake it that way, and then you've got this amazing vegan meatloaf. Stay tuned. That's going to be awesome with some ketchup. And if you haven't gotten into the cashew-based cream sauces yet, folks, especially people who are trying to get off dairy, trying to get off cheese, and really need that rich, full-bodied, full-flavored, creamy feeling, cashews are the way to go. And this cashew déjeuner is so easy. It's got just, you know, a few ingredients, but rich and delicious, satisfying. And I know it's like my mother would like to say, oh, it's so gourmet. Yeah, so we had this great Thanksgiving. And now I'm ready to move on to future holidays. But if we're going to do that, we have to be healthy. And this is a time of great traditions and holidays and holiday foods and holiday parties, but it's also a time of colds and flus, and they are not fun. And I've been looking back on my calendar and noticed that we seem to get particularly weak in December and March. And sure enough, Gary got a little cold last week. And fortunately, I haven't got succumbed to it. And I really wanted to focus on preventing those things. Now, one of the big challenges that I have is the hands touching the face, specifically the mouth. And this is like one of the best ways for germs, especially the bad ones, to get inside and infect you. And that's like something I haven't trained myself to do too well, although I'm working on it. So yeah, washing the hands, but not having the hands touch the face, the mouth, the eyes, the nose. This is like the best vehicle. It just kind of like brings it all right in there. But meanwhile, there are things that we can do to stay safe from flu viruses and colds. And I wanted to go over some of them because some they may be obvious, but it's always good to remind ourselves, right? Okay, so we want to eat healthfully. And I talk about eating healthfully all the time with a focus towards preventing chronic diseases because eating healthfully boosts our immune system. And it's our immune system that helps fight off whatever it is we don't want in our bodies. Well, in addition to chronic disease, that also works for colds and flu. And the same foods, the same micronutrients that we need to support the immune system, the same phytochemicals, they all have that. They also can keep you strong and prevent colds and flus. So what are they? Mushrooms. Mushrooms. I love to call mushrooms nature's chemotherapy. And it's really great to have a few mushrooms a day in any kind of form. What I like to do, if you've heard of the company Fungus Amungus, let's see, how is that spelled? Fungus Amungus. It's FUNGUSAMONGUS, fungusamungus.com. It's a fun name. They sell dried mushrooms, and they sell a lot of dried organic mushrooms. I highly recommend going there. I don't get any kickback from recommending them. They're just a company whose products I like. If you have access to fresh mushrooms, that's great. But I find mushrooms are expensive, and I like to have a variety, and there are certain kinds of mushrooms I really like, and the stores around me don't always have them. So I buy big bags of Fungus Amungus dried mushrooms, and I keep them in the freezer so that they last. Now, what do I do with them? I usually take maybe a half a cup to a cup. I rinse them. I was instructed by the people at the company Fungus Among Us that you should wash the mushrooms. And then I put them in a little pot with water and boil them and let them simmer for about 30 minutes. And then those mushrooms I'll use in anything, absolutely anything. And that's the way I keep eating mushrooms. Now, mushrooms are great in a soup, and we have a couple of wonderful mushroom recipes at responsibleeatingandliving.com. One of my favorites is the mineral-rich mushroom soup. It's a very comforting broth. You can go to our site, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and check that out. It's very simple. It's made with miso and celery. Celery's got great minerals. And I like to add turmeric and black pepper. They work synergistically together, turmeric and black pepper. They help, one helps the other in absorption. And I like to put them all in the soup, and that's like my medicinal mineral mushroom soup. And then another thing that's really come in handy is dehydrated ginger and dehydrated lemon peel. Now, I don't know if you have access to a dehydrator. That's kind of important. I fortunately have a dehydrator option on my oven, which, as some of you may remember, I didn't know I had for about 10 years. So now I'm kind of trying to make up for lost time and use it. But you can buy ginger, chop it up, and dehydrate it until it's dry. And then use it as a tea, which is spectacular. You just rehydrate it with hot water, but the dried ginger will last forever. And I do the same thing with lemon peels and lime peels. We use a lot of lemons and limes, the juice primarily, for our salad dressings and occasionally for other dishes. And then I'm left over with the rind, and a lot of times I will put the rinds in my juice extractor when I'm making my green juice. But another great thing you can do with the rind, and why do I want to do that with the rind? The rinds are loaded with flavonoids, and I don't want to waste any one of those flavonoids. We need our flavonoids. So I dehydrate them. And again, it makes an excellent tea. And why am I bringing up tea? Well, it's wonderful to hydrate all the time. That's one of the things that keeps us healthy and protected. And even if you feel a little under the weather, a soothing cup of ginger lemon tea is wonderful. And maybe when you're starting to feel under, you don't have ginger and lemon in the refrigerator, and you certainly don't feel like going outside to get it. And that's why it's great to have it dehydrated and ready for you when you may need it. And, you know, I don't put a lot of sugar in things. It's in our recipes for cakes and cookies, the treats for special occasions, but I'm not someone that encourages adding sugar. But a little agave in the cup of tea with ginger and lemon is very soothing. And just may help lift your spirits if they're going down from a cold or a flu. And, you know, I don't have to tell you about the importance of greens, but I am going to tell you the importance of greens and cruciferous vegetables, because not only are they wonderful for helping reduce the risk of chronic diseases, but they are there for you, boosting the immune system. They have antimicrobial properties, and they're going to help you with your body's antiviral response. There's lots of studies that show the power of greens doing so many wonderful things for our health, and that includes colds and flus. And berries are up there too. So all those same foods that we talk about all the time are the same foods that help treat cold and flu symptoms. Now, there's a few supplements that can also help, and I recently added zinc to my diet. Now, I already take vitamin D, and I take vitamin B12. Those are the only things I take. D and zinc are important for the immune system, and we need to have adequate amounts of them to help protect against cold and flu. And zinc is it's not as well absorbed from plant foods. So especially for vegans, I think supplementing zinc is a good idea. And so I do. I get zinc from some of my foods, nuts and seeds. But I have begun supplementing, and we'll see if that makes a difference. I hope so. The thing that doesn't work, the thing that doesn't work are those common cold remedies that you find in the stores, and maybe some of the ones that are recommended that are considered natural. Now, some people may believe in vitamin C, the mega doses. The science behind that's really mixed. So if you feel it helps you, that's great. But I'm dubious about it. The things that don't really work are the ones that you can find in a pharmacy. Because what they tend to do is slow down your recovery. Isn't that fascinating? Now, I understand you work every day and you get a cold and you want to get back to work and you want to feel better. And so you take one of these cold remedies, and maybe or maybe not, maybe it'll help you. But most cold remedies are proven not to work. That's all I can say. And the same for fever reducers. The thing is that fevers, I know fevers are scary. They're especially scary with very young children or elderly. But for the most part, the fever is our body's mechanism to heal. So a little bit of fever is actually a good thing when we are experiencing a cold or a flu. Of course, if it persists for more than 3 days and it goes above 103, then it's something else and you really need to check it out and see a doctor. But don't be afraid of a mild fever. It's your body doing its job. And the last thing, and don't roll your eyes when I say this, rest. Rest is probably the most important thing. So much happens when we're sleeping. And our body uses that time to detox, to heal, to re-energize. It does so many things. And if we don't get adequate rest, then our body's health is compromised. I may have mentioned this recently. This is one of my new discoveries. I started using an eye mask at night, just to make the room darker. And I found I have a profound improvement in the quality of my sleep. It's just deeper. It's darker. But it really makes a difference. So you might want to try it. I'm actually using a couple that I got on an airline once. I'd like to make them a little more, well, I have some work to do with them, but there are lots of interesting eye masks out there. I have another eye mask that I got about 15 years ago, and it's filled with buckwheat hulls. And I'm a real big fan of buckwheat hulls because my pillow, my bedroom pillow, is filled with buckwheat hulls. So I'm like a sandwich with my buckwheat hull eye mask and my buckwheat hull pillow. It's crunchy, but and it's noisy, but you get used to it. And I find, for me, it's really comfortable, and I feel it. I won't use feathers because they're not vegan friendly, and plastic, any kind of synthetic, I don't think that encourages good sleep. So I've come to really love my buckwheat hull pillows. Yeah, so that's it. Sleep is really, really, really important. Did I say it was really important? Good. Now, you know, I've been moaning, oh, and sighing, ah, about what's gone on since the elections here in the United States. It's a scary thing. Now, we focus on food here, and we'll be talking a lot more about food. And our government has a great deal of impact on food issues. But I've been feeling a bit de-jazzed, and it's really taking a lot of energy to stay inspired and want to do things when you feel like our evolution, our positive evolution, is retreating. And I was invited to a lunch this week by the Pollination Project. The Pollination Project is an organization that grants small organizations and people. I was going to say small people. But no, people in general and small organizations. And they started by giving away $1,000 a day. Isn't that lovely? They're a young organization. They haven't been around too long. And Responsible Eating and Living, my nonprofit, has benefited from the Pollination Project. We're one of their earlier grantees. And they supported our transcription project, which got me started on getting all of these shows that I've been doing here at the Progressive Radio Network for over 7.5 years. I get them transcribed. And this is a wonderful gift that we are able to offer people for free. And the Pollination Project got us started on that. So I think they're located out west, and their New York representative wanted to get together some of the grantees from the New York area. And we met and had lunch. There were about 9 of us. And I was going for the food. I knew that they would have some vegan food, and they had a nice spread from a company called the Hummus and Pita Company. It was falafel and a bunch of different flavored hummuses, and it's just nice to be able to go to an event where you know you can eat everything. But what really surprised me was listening to the individual stories of the other people that were there that had received Pollination Project grants. And I'll tell you, listening to the wonderful things that individuals are doing just woke me up and re-energized me and inspired me. I can't tell you enough. A couple of men were there, and they work for the Citizens Against, oh gosh, I'm going to get it right, and I'm going to look at my What Vegans Eat blog, where I listed the organizations, because I want to give them all good credit. But one was a guy who had been incarcerated, and he was working to help those that get out of prison, stay out of prison, preventing recidivism, and also working to keep children out of going into prison. So his organization is called Citizens Against Recidivism, and they're working to reduce justice involvement and recidivism. I can't say that word, recidivism, among youth in New York. So inspiring to hear his stories. And, I mean, we know there are just way too many people that go to prison. And some of them shouldn't even be there. And those that are there because they haven't been given the right education or opportunity. And it's just very unfortunate. So when you hear about individuals making a difference, so inspiring. Another young woman, single mother, created this group called Chili's on Wheels, and she provides vegan meals to the homeless or anyone with food insecurity. These are not people that are wealthy. These are not people of means. These are people who have rich ideas and take action. Just some amazing projects. And if you want to hear about the rest of them, please go to What Vegans Eat Day 662, and you can read all about them. And I want to know, now that we're on the subject, I want to know what you are doing. I want to know, what are you doing in your life to be of service, to help? It doesn't have to be big. I'm just curious, and I would love to hear about it, because we need to support each other, we need to inspire each other, and I find hearing about these individual projects, this is a selfish request. I want to know what you're doing so that I can get excited about it and know that there's a lot of people working at the grassroots level that are going to move our civilization forward in a beautiful way. So I'm hoping that you let me know. info@realmeals.org. You can do that. And, okay, before we go to the second part of the show, I just have to do this. It's December, as I mentioned. It's the holiday time. It's also the giving time. And Responsible Eating and Living, we are a 501c, not-for-profit organization. We don't ask for money very often, but the way we do the work is from donations from individuals and from businesses and foundations and grants. And if you like this show, if you like what we do at Responsible Eating and Living, I hope that you will include us in your gift giving this season. And you can go to responsibleeatingandliving.com. You can go to our donate button. It's easy. And thank you. Thank you very much. All right, let's, shall we? Let's take a little break. And then when we come back, I'm going to introduce a woman that I met recently, Anisha Khanna. She's the CEO of a company called Sonage, and it's a skincare company. And we're going to be learning a lot about it just in a moment when we come back. Everybody, I'm Karen Hartglass, and this is the second part of today's It's All About Food program. Thanks for joining me. And we will now move on to my guest, Anisha Khanna. And she is the CEO of a company called Sonage. We will be hearing quite a bit about it. And just a little bio for her, where she says, as a consumer, I fell in love with Sonage because I no longer had to choose between results-oriented and safe skincare. I became involved professionally with Sonage because I could relate to the mission and vision of the company. Since taking the helm, her goal has been to analyze every ingredient for safety while retaining the quality and beauty of the original line that is a favorite among aestheticians. Okay, Anisha, welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen. I'm so excited to be on.
Yes. Now, can you say the word aestheticians quickly?
Well, I say it 100 times a day. So, yes, aestheticians. Absolutely.
It's a mouthful. It's better it to is read, a mouthful. I think, than say.
I hear you. How about facialist? Facialist might be easier for you.
Okay, good. Anyway, we had the good fortune to meet several years ago because you're friends with my next-door neighbor.
That is right.
Yeah, and I love the way the universe works, bringing people together sometimes that wouldn't normally have the opportunity.
Yeah, he's been telling me about you and your mission and all of the work that you've done. You know, with your partner, Gary, over the last, 10 plus years. And it's exciting. I know your program is, it's all about food, but everything is so connected and related, that I'm hoping your listeners will get a lot out of our conversation today.
Yeah, I hope so too. Well, my neighbor, Deepak and his wife, Bharati, they've had to suffer through many meals over here where we make our non-vegan friends eat vegan food. And that's always been fun. They've always been good sports.
That's who they are.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, I always like to connect the dots with food. So what I like to say about the products that I put on my skin is that I really don't want to put on my skin something that I wouldn't eat. Now, you know, I'm being very liberal about that, but I think it's important. And I remember you telling me something, and I was reading a blog recently. And so, what I want to talk about is when we put things on our skin, does it get into our bodies? Because I was reading on a blog post recently about from a Beth McClellan, director of oncodermatology at Montefiore Health System and dermatologist for the app Spruce. She was quoted saying, "I do not believe that putting something in my body is the same as putting something on the surface of my skin." And she said, "One of the skin's main functions is to keep toxins out of the body. It's the first line of defense and very effective at it. If we could put something on the surface of the skin and it was all absorbed into the bloodstream, you would never have to take pills and you could just rub medicine on your skin, but it doesn't work that way." And sure, I mean, we go swimming, you know, the water doesn't all seep into our bodies, but what about things that we put on our skin getting on our bodies and into our bodies?
So I'm happy that we're connecting the dots. That's what it's all about. I think gone are the days where we believed that applying something on your body is not like ingesting it. So I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. You know, so there are extremes on both sides. And a couple examples that I'd like to share with you are the nicotine patch, right? Very, very effective. And it's been used for years and years and years. It is something that you're sticking on your skin outside of your body. It is very, very effective in regulating levels in your bloodstream. This is an example.
I'm having a big giant duh moment. Like, duh. Nicotine patch, of
Right.
course. Right.
And the reason I bring that up is that is something that everyone can relate to and understand. So it's not gibberish from our, you know, from a chemist, from Sonage, or it's just something that's completely relatable. A nicotine patch is something you wear. We have very, very strong topical medicines that are prescription, you know, that are very targeted and typically skin related, right? Because you want them so targeted, and you know, you're looking for a solution in a particular area. But for those of us who like to soak our feet, I don't know if you're familiar with neem oil. It's an antiseptic, but it's bitter. So you soak your feet in neem oil, and within seconds, you can taste bitter on your tongue. That's how quickly it travels. So, you know, so the answer really, the truth is somewhere in the middle. You know, yes, there are folks that say 60% of what you apply on your body, or there are some studies that say that 60% of what you apply on your body is absorbed in your blood or is in your bloodstream within 26 seconds. And then you have the doctor that you quoted that says, "Hey, you know, nothing's really getting absorbed." So the truth is somewhere in the middle. And it all has to do with wear on your skin. So the skin on your forearms, for example, is much, I'm just going to use thicker, which is something that everyone can relate to, is thicker than the skin on your face, forehead, or head. So the skin on your scalp, your forehead, much, much thinner. So things absorb easier. So it depends on what part of your body you're applying. So, you know, my business really deals with the face. And, you know, in our industry, you know, I don't know if consumers understand this because our industry is not really regulated. The beauty industry is very loosely regulated. The FDA will regulate a sunscreen, an SPF, but not much else. So you know, you can literally mix ingredients in your kitchen, put a label in a jar, and start selling it the next day.
I know people who do that.
Which is great if you're consuming it personally, refrigerating it, and, you know, similar to food. Every 7 to 10 days, you're making a new batch and using it at home. You know, that's great. You know, at least it's safe as far as there's no bacteria in it, or at least limited bacteria. But when you're marketing something and it's sitting on a shelf, it's not safe. Every time you put your finger in it, you're introducing bacteria into that jar. So that's just not safe for your health. So at Sonage, we believe in something that we call the new natural. What does that mean? That means, yes, we're using natural ingredients, but we're also using minimal preservatives, because we want to guarantee the shelf life for a product, right? Skincare is not food. People are not tossing it out every week or 2 weeks. You'll find it sitting on their shelves for months, if not years. So we want to make sure that when you open the jar, there's no mold or green stuff growing around it. It's actually it's actually safe for you. But, you know, beauty, like food, is a health choice. And, you know, we partnered with the Environmental Working Group that, you know, I'm guessing your listeners may be aware of. So the Environmental Group does a lot of research on the safety of ingredients, and they rate ingredients and products on green for safe, yellow for moderate, and red for toxic. So toxic is ingredients or products that contain some kind of known carcinogens. So all Sonage products, what we're committed to is green, safe. So they're effective, so you're going to see a result, but they're safe for you, and we have an independent organization like the EWG verifying that. So that's, you know, that's...
Okay. What I want to know is, was Sonage always this way?
So let me give you a little bit of background. Let me back up for a second.
Yeah, please.
So Sonage was started by a second-generation French esthetician. That word again. You know, back in, so Sonage, the company, was formally formed in 94, but our founder, Sylvie Archnault, moved or migrated from Paris to New York in the late 80s, and she had, you know, her mother was practicing in Paris, and originally she started importing ingredients and products, you know, to use on her own clients. And, you know, eventually later our manufacturing moved to the U.S., but a lot of our research and our formulation is still done in Europe. Europe is a lot stricter when it comes to toxins, when it comes to cosmetics. There's something like 13,000 ingredients that are on the that are banned in Europe. They cannot be used in personal care products. In the U.S., there are less than 20 ingredients on the banned list. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It really is a joke. So it is an honor system, right? So, you know, yes, a lot of our formulation happens in Europe, which means we're, by default, we're using the safest of ingredients. A lot of research that comes out really comes out from Europe. And we actually take it to another extreme. I'll give you an example. We have a product called Laserine, as in post-laser treatments. So it was originally formulated when a doctor would do a laser treatment or a deep peel. It is it's a wound healer. A way to compare it, you know, it would be a similar to like a Vaseline or an Aquaphor, but a natural version. You know, Vaseline is a 100% petroleum product. Aquaphor is 40 or 50% petroleum. So petroleum is literally just rubber that you're applying on your skin. It doesn't let your skin breathe. And it's really bad for the environment because it's not biodegradable. It's not going anywhere. There are some natural companies that formulated a wound healer, you know, an ointment, and they used beeswax. So when we were reformulating our product, you know, PETA, and this is, this is a couple of years ago, they were raising a lot of concerns on the commercial use of beeswax, because all of a sudden when, you know, dozens of companies start looking for an ingredient, you know, that ingredient is now commercially available. And so they were really concerned about, you know, how this is going to hurt the queen bee. So we decided that we were not, you know, we were going to stay true to being vegan friendly, and not even use beeswax in our formulations. So we really do take it to an extreme, which is harder, a little bit costlier. But I think in the long run, we can look ourselves in the mirror and be proud of who we represent.
I love that. And beeswax is one of those ingredients in the natural care products that a lot of people consider borderline when we're talking about vegan products. Some people still include them. I was talking last week, not to get off the subject, but it is about beeswax, and I was talking to Jeanette Hurt, who wrote a book called Drink Like a Woman, and it's a book of cocktail recipes. And I mentioned that Bailey's Irish Cream, they've come out with a vegan version, and it's almond milk based, but they included beeswax in it. And somebody didn't do their homework because they were trying to market to the crazy vegans. And now they're reformulating it. And hopefully in time for the holidays, we'll be able to have a vegan version of the Irish Cream without beeswax.
Well, you know, we call this, you know, greenwashing in our industry, right? You want to do the right thing for marketing reasons, but, you know, not because it's a core value. So I think that's kind of where if it's a core value, you're going to get it right. If you're doing it just because, you know, hey, it's not cool to be using it anymore, you know, then that's where you get into trouble. So, you know, proud of what we stand behind. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about some of your products. So, you know, it's just like on It's All About Food, I like to talk about recipes and describes how delicious some of them are. So I want to hear about how delicious some of your products are, not necessarily to eat, but some of their wonderful properties. I know you gave me a sample of a product that had argan oil in it, and I've been using it. It's very lovely. I love the plain argan oil, and your product is different because it isn't really very oily. It feels kind of clean, and it has this nice like a lemongrass scent to it.
Let me tell you about it. I think what you're referring to is our Vitality Nourishing Facial Oil, and I think when I was visiting New York, we were launching that product, and I think I gave you that product. So if you love argan oil, that's amazing. Argan oil is great for your skin. When you're thinking about oil, to the consumer, they don't always understand that depending on where you're applying the oil, the molecule size of the oil is different. So argan oil is good for your face. Coconut oil, not so good because it's a much larger. It's great for your body because your body has larger pores, but your face, it doesn't absorb quickly. So it's sitting on your skin. So some people tend to break out. Other people still complain that they're dry even after applying coconut oil because it doesn't absorb. And so, you know, the molecule size is not right for your face. So ungan oil, you know, they call it liquid gold. It is in the, it's a base for our Vitality Facial Oil, but our oil is a blend of 10 different oils, right? So there's a story behind every product. There's a utility behind every product because we are a professional line. We are used by estheticians and facialists in their facials. So if you think about the profession, we go to see an esthetician typically when we have a problem or seasonally when we want to, you know, detox or cleanse our skin, and we're looking for a result. You know, yes, there is a whole stress-relieving aromatherapy aspect to your visit to the spa, and our line is an aromatherapy line. But the reason you tend to go to an esthetician is, hey, my skin is really dry. Hey, I'm breaking out. So our line has to be effective because otherwise our esthetician's clients will never come back. So what do we blend in this oil? So it's the base is argan. We've got marula oil in it. We've got lavender, cypress, geranium. I think what you're smelling is geranium. And it's, you know, it's got other things like willow leaf, bladder wax. So all these, so this blend moisturizes your skin, but it also heals your skin. It promotes cell growth. It's got antioxidants in it, prevents dryness. And it's not sitting on your skin. You apply it, and, you know, within seconds, it gets quickly absorbed. So I am so excited you like it.
I do. I like when I learn things, and I didn't know that I shouldn't put coconut oil on my face, that it doesn't really work.
It's not. So for, you know, especially getting colder in New York, it's not the best solution for your skin. So, you know, you're mature. That is my way of saying aging gracefully. So you're mature skin, so you need a little bit more emollients. And yeah, coconut oil alone will not do the trick. So, you know, a couple of other things that are products that are typically crowd pleasers. You know, we have a vitamin C serum. And you have to love Dr. Oz sometimes because he'll say things and then they become law for the consumers. So about a year or so ago in one of his programs, he's like, forget everything else. You just need vitamin C and hyaluronic. And that makes, in some ways, our life a little bit easier because now the consumer gets it. But, you know, either they don't, so it's not just vitamin C. You can't just go to the supplement store, get a capsule of vitamin C and break it on your skin. If you did that, you would burn your skin. That's how strong vitamin C is. If you just put vitamin C directly on your skin, you would burn it. But the way we formulate our vitamin C is, it's encapsulated. So when you apply it, it gets absorbed, and then the capsule opens, or, you know, we sometimes refer to it, think of it as a balloon. So you apply it in your skin, and it gets absorbed, and then the balloon bursts, and you deliver the vitamin C. Amazing anti-aging product. You know, it's formulated with orange fruit extract and grapefruit, and it's got turmeric in it. I mean, it's a food show, and people love ingredients. I'm hoping people are familiar with, you know, with these ingredients.
Yes.
I'm of Indian origin, so we grew up eating turmeric in our food. A lot of Indian food has turmeric in it. And this is one, when I first got introduced to Sanaj, this is, you know, one of the first products that I started using and just absolutely, you know, loved it because I could, you know, when you read ingredients and you understand them, even though as a consumer you don't understand about delivery systems and how they don't irritate you and, you know, what's good, what's not so good. But it's good to be able to read ingredients and be able to pronounce them, and, you know, they're familiar. You can relate to them.
You know, I'm thinking about ingredients and how they can be toxic or not. But it really depends on the concentration and the environment. As you were describing, the vitamin C can burn your skin, but when it's delivered properly and gets to where it is needed, it's beneficial. So, I mean, water could be toxic when we're drowning.
Sure. Absolutely.
And we have really strong acids in our stomach for digestion, hydrochloric acid, and yet in other places it would just really burn and be horrible. So it's really important to understand ingredients and where they're beneficial and how they're beneficial and where they're not.
I agree. I mean, there's just so much science behind, behind what we do. And you know, it's not just about blending. It's not like our lab just has this big blender and we throw all the stuff in. And, you know, every product has what we call a different delivery system. So I know I spoke to you about the capsules and the vitamin C. There's another product which is, I don't want to get too technical, but it's polymerized. So it is a glycolic acid, which is great for exfoliation. The molecule is actually very small, so if it it can hurt you. So what we've done is polymer is like a chain, so we've connected it to each other. So when you apply it, it spreads. So it's like a, like a sweater. Our hair is a polymer. So it's just something that, you know, goes into your skin slowly so it doesn't hurt you.
Nice. So we have like 2 minutes left. And
sure.
Time flies when you're having fun. The holidays are coming up. Is there anything you might recommend from Sonaj that people might get as gifts?
Yes, our hero serums. So I know we spoke about our Vitality Facial Oil, our Vitamin C Serum, and our Hyaluronic Serum. These three products, you cannot go wrong with these three products. For listeners who just want to, do a test drive, just say, hey, I want to try Sonaj, but I know nothing about this line, about the quality. We have a mini facial on our website, Sonaj.com. It is $15. So if you typically go for a facial, it'll cost you $90, $100 more. So it's a one-time facial for $15, no shipping. It's a great way to experience the line. It's got five different products. It tells you exactly, hey, now you cleanse, now you do this, now you wear the mask, and it's just such a beautiful French line. There's no way to, get an experience over the phone. You actually have to apply it.
That's true. Anisha, thank you very much. I think we're out of time, and I'm so glad we had this chance to chat. I hope to see you sometime soon and check out these wonderful products.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Karen. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, happy holidays. That was Anisha Khanna, and her company is Sonaj, S like Sam, O, N like Nancy, A, G like George, E. It's taken from the French, son, it's son âge, his age or her age, Sonaj. And there you have it. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to Responsible Eating and Living. Visit Responsible Eating. Oh, no, what am I saying? You've been listening to It's All About Food. Visit me at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Send me an email at info@realmeals.org. And have a delicious week.